Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Real Salt Lake Show. We've got Alex Napolis, Joshua Clark, and boss baby Isaac Munoz about to turn 27. What's going on, dude? How are you?
Doing good. Doing good.
You feeling old?
Huh? A little bit. Can't wait to turn 27, though.
Yeah, what can you do now that you're 27 that you couldn't do at 26?
Good question. Be 27.
Oh, dude, that's the die year. So you gotta
a lot of
survive.
People dying. Don't do any like pills, you know. Avoid anything to be laced with fentanyl.
I just had to chill in my room the whole time.
You already do that.
Well, yeah. But now even more. I don't want to die.
Yeah, just don't do dangerous activities, you know.
Yeah.
No, like skydiving.
No, don't get a motorcycle yet.
Yeah, just wait.
Okay.
I bought my first motorcycle when I was 20. No, I was like 25. Never mind.
25.
Yeah, I was thinking I did it when I was 27, but I've had it longer than that.
Gotcha. All right. Very cool. Well, how is everybody? Alex, let's start with you, dude. What's something cool that's happened to you?
You know, not much. I've been just hanging out.
You're thrilling.
Yeah, I've just been hanging out, working, doing call-in games for KSL, chilling with you guys, chilling with the Spanish podcast, hanging out, talking about soccer.
Dude, imagine having that much free time.
I mean... I make it work.
No, it's great. Yeah. Like,
I make it work.
Two podcasts and calling games, bro.
I make it work.
Yeah. Dude, it's good, man. If I could,
no, it's great.
What was I doing at 22? Nothing.
We were playing a lot of pickup.
What we did when we were 22 is we lived to work, or is it work to live? No. Yeah, live to work.
No, it was work to live because we were all broke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just like worked our stupid jobs.
Yeah.
And then
like, sat around. You know what I mean? Like, what was the game back then? Gears of War?
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah.
It would be like, oh, who's basement today, guys?
Yeah.
Who's bringing Little Caesars? And that was life.
Yeah. It was good times.
It was. Yeah. Twitter didn't even exist.
Good job, dude.
Thank you, man.
Way
look
to
you're working
in
hard.
Your 20s.
Always.
Yeah.
Your parents always will be proud.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe.
All I heard was, get a job.
What about you, Josh? What's something that's cool that's happened to you, dude?
Nothing, man.
Okay.
I'm going on a cruise next week.
Yay.
That's big news, kind of.
Yeah, I just want to talk about soccer, though.
Yeah.
Because we're the RSL show, not social hour show.
Where'd you go? Where are you going, though?
Just Ensenada.
Ensenada.
Catalina Island.
Oh, that's nice, dude.
It's a small cruise. Little tiny getaway.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, dude? Isaac? What have you done? By the way, where's my birthday present that you ordered on Amazon allegedly a week and a half ago?
I gave it to you.
Oh, that's right. You did.
I'm pretty sure you're wearing it.
He really liked that present.
What am I wearing?
They're headphones, right? Are those not the ones? He doesn't even know what he ordered.
Bro, I'm getting so old. No, I had you. That's right. He bought me a second pair. Because packing these babies, you know, you got to have one at like the workstation dedicated. And then one travel pair.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, thanks, dude. Anyways, all right.
You're welcome.
Proceed. What's been cool in your life?
Huh? Nothing really. Just been chilling.
Just been big boss baby.
I've been learning how to code. I code on my phone all the time on this app called Mimo. It's pretty cool.
So like, oh my
go,
God.
Go look into
on Mimo?
It's M-I-M-O. Mimo,
you have a hard time finding him?
No.
Yeah, what's thing on there? What prestige are you on Call of Duty?
I don't know.
Shut up.
I'm up there. I'm up there, though.
He's up there. All right, cool. All right.
Alex, it wasn't that funny.
Why is he so upset? There's tension here, man.
Because I made a joke.
About Nemo? It wasn't that. It wasn't that good.
Apparently it was to this young guy.
It's the age difference.
I know. Dude, he loves Nemo. It's insane. All right, well, nothing's cool happened in my life in the last 2 weeks, aside from having a birthday and then getting a shout-out from Dunny.
On the broadcast of all places.
For being, quote-unquote, 40. It's whatever. I'll take that. That's it.
Just be happy you got a shout-out, you know?
Yeah.
Not everyone does. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it was good.
He's not even grateful, man.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Real Salt Lake, RSL. How are you guys feeling about... where the team is at? I know a lot of people are expressing their dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Online, they're pretty vocal about it. And I will say, I'll double down here at the RSL show. We think it's okay to be critical, and we think we might agree. We might agree with what we're seeing.
Oh, dude, I'm beyond annoyed with this team right now.
Yeah.
Beyond annoyed.
Yeah. So, first things first, actually. Where's my phone?
I just want to get yelled at.
Yeah, where's my phone? Where's my phone? Right there. All right.
So, did you hear that panic?
Yeah.
Oh, where's my phone? Where's my phone?
Well, we put a tweet out from the RSL show, and it's a very generic tweet, and it's one that's going to hit all the time. So, we asked, what needs to happen? Hashtag RSL. First option was offload select players. Second was switch up the FO. C was fire Pablo. And D was all of the above. So we had 309 votes total. Okay, so again, offload players, switch up the FO, fire Pablo, or all of the above. Alex, which one do you think got the most votes?
I'm going to go take a wild guess, and I'm going to go with D, all of the above.
D, all of the above?
Well, yeah. I wanted to go with D, all of the above, but since you did, I'm going to go with Pablo.
Pablo?
I was going to go with the FO.
The FO. All right. So that's just like your educated guesses, yeah? Is that
Yeah. I'm just,
is that how you guys are feeling
no.
at all? No, those are just what, that's just right. what we guessing. Guessed they voted.
All right, so 309 votes, at all of the above D, 45%. Was the number one answer.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The number two answer was offload select players. And the third was switch up FO, 24%.
No, not everyone's getting after Pablo.
Shockingly.
That surprises me.
Dude, shockingly, fire Pablo got 6% of that.
Dude, I think that's because... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's weird to me because usually the coach is the first target, right? But maybe people are now looking... You know, closer at the FO and wondering what's going on there. Because, yeah. I mean, even if you look at the talent and rosters of everyone, like that's really where everyone's seeing the issue.
Right. I mean, I just, you know, all of the above obviously is extreme, right?
Sure.
It's like a whole...
Well, I guess that means a lot of people wanted to fire Pablo, but... So yeah. Technically it's 46 yeah, plus right. 6.
Maybe he's not that safe, actually.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now that we think about it that way, oof.
Yeah, but... You know, just kind of seeing these results, it's a fan base that isn't at all satisfied with Real Salt Lake is. And for, you know, we talked about this the last podcast. For as many positive things that have happened at the club, the play on the field just isn't paying off. Like, no. We're just not seeing.
It's getting worse.
Yeah. It's steadily, right?
I think fairly progressively.
Yeah.
The difference between the DC United game and then the Austin game to this game, pretty drastic differences.
Yeah. Now, I mean, we all knew Austin was a loss.
Yeah, but we'd still...
But we came back. We came back and we Cincinnati.
Technically controlled the Austin game for 70% of it.
Yeah. Come back, Cincinnati, need the win at home.
Against a team in good form. But still very beatable.
Yeah.
Very beatable. Especially on your home field.
Yeah. So, Alex, you went on the Cincy Talk podcast, and you guys talked a little bit about, you know, each team style of play. They pointed out that Real Salt Lake was without their goal scorers. That kind of, you know, took it to them last time. And then I saw that he tweeted at you and said, hey, I was right, for the most part.
He did.
Yeah. So... I mean, first off, shout out FC Cincy Talk, or Cincy Talk FC for having us on. But, yeah, like what you guys discussed, I mean, do you feel like it was kind of spot on, and were you at all confident when you went on and maybe said that RSL would pull a result?
I think he was pretty – I think we were both pretty spot on. He talks a lot about the attack that Cincy had, which is incredible – is a very good attack. You got Brenner, who's got 12 goals on the year. I think 14 now with the two that he scored at America First Field. We got Brand Vasquez, who's on 12 goals. You got Luciano Costa, who is on 18 assists. It's a crazy attack. And we talked about how the key to this game was RSL stopping that attack. And for the most part, they did. Brandon Vasquez really didn't have many opportunities. Luciano Costa was kind of pedestrian until like the 60th minute. But Brenner... running into the box completely unmarked.
Oh, it was pathetic.
Terrible. It's just terrible.
Let's look at what was in front of the back line for that entire time.
Right.
Nothing. It was 40 yards of space between anyone on RSL in the back line.
Which is crazy because, like, we talk about Jasper. We talk about Jasper and how great he's been all year and how he's been kind of the revelation player of this year. And I feel like Saturday was the first off game we've seen from Jasper.
I think everyone was off. I mean, you had Chang playing right wing back, who was playing more like an inverted striker at times, leaving us even more exposed, right? There were plenty of times you saw him jogging back, and Herrera's overloaded on the right? And he like, oh, now I need to run back, and it's up. It's just like the way Cincinnati got numbers into their attacking half, you know, when we lost the ball and outnumbered us, you know, 6-4 or whatever, it was incredible. And it's something that needed to be addressed, and I don't feel like it was. And that became an issue in the second half, more than it was in the first.
I don't know. The way I just saw Saturday and the way they were playing, I feel like it's just a culmination of the results that have led to this moment. I think the pressure was on. The players felt it. The coach is feeling it. The pressure's on that, hey, this was a must win. We need to get this result. And they came out there playing. They came out there visibly pressured, I feel like.
Right. So what's the difference between that, you know, just to hold these results and get in, to having to win in Kansas City at the end of the year and having to pull off playoff results? Like, what's the difference? These guys have been through these pressure moments before.
I can tell you one big difference.
What? Demir?
The leader.
Yeah, that is true.
And not to say Marcelo Silva is not a great leader, because he is, but not having a guy like Demir, and I hate using this as an excuse for, like, the way the season is trending toward right now, but Demir does make a difference.
Okay, I accept that answer.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is, right? You know, who got us the push to not necessarily, well, actually, yeah, secure a spot in the playoffs.
Right, he scored those late goals when we needed. He tried to pick up the team on his own, right? He was there. He was the difference maker, the magic maker, and we have none of that right now.
And he's an option. I mean, you know, we still have, at times, arguably, Miram putting in the effort that we saw last year going into the playoffs, you know, driving the ball from the side, getting it into the center, but there's nobody there to pick it up. And usually that's been Demir to pick up those loose opportunities.
But now we have Miram coming in at the 9. Right? Or like more like the 11. Like it's so frustrating. It's like so many guys are out of position attacking wise. It's just driving me nuts.
Right.
And honestly, like, the biggest thing for me in that match was when Demir came on for Luna. That completely changed the game.
Yeah. I mean, that was something that we saw. We got a kind of a preview of with Diego Luna. Just outside the foot shots, just barely going wide.
Balling.
You can feel him kind of getting closer to those goal-scoring opportunities. It's exciting to watch him. And we've been talking about it for I don't know how many episodes.
Right, let's get him the minutes.
But he starts to heat up. And then the minute, like you said, the minute he's taken out, it's just...
The game deflated for ourselves. Yeah,
exactly.
And you can kind of say the same for Jasper when he came off. I thought that was the wrong player to pull off. I understand that, you know, Pablo didn't want to kill Ruiz's confidence after missing the penalty, but sometimes you need to. You know what I mean?
Right, and it makes
pull
sense.
Him off at the 60th.
It makes sense. Yes, I 100% like agree that Pablo, you know, you don't want to kill his confidence. As a head coach, you want to look out for your players. Taking him off in that moment, right after you just missed a PK, killer.
Right, but like,
killer for the confidence. However, Ruiz was the one who was supposed to be tracking that Brenner run on that first goal.
And then on the second goal, and on the second goal, dove in and missed.
Yep, there you go.
And he missed the penalty.
And which really sucks, because like, this whole team, including Pablo, started the season so well.
Oh, yeah.
And Pablo was an MVP candidate talk.
Was. It's crumbled.
And now we've just seen this team completely falling apart.
That's horrible. So we hardly ever make halftime subs. Barring a Jasper injury, why did you even need to make that sub? You could have left Pablo on until the 60th, right? Instead of completely kill your game, leave Jasper on there, who you don't necessarily want to take off in this match, and then bring Ojeda in like 55th, 60th. You're just going to... what length of effort do you have to go to preserve confidence? Because you now gave him two more opportunities. I guess there was only one more. To let everyone down, right? So, like, now do you start him the next game because you don't want to kill his confidence? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I don't know, man. Right.
I feel like that excuse snowballs.
But PKs are also pretty unpredictable.
Sure, but...
He hit it with force. It's not like a stupid, like...
But here's my thing. Why is he taking it in the first place?
So, Pablo, quote-unquote...
Yeah, I hated his answer.
You give it to the person who's feeling the most confident to take it. That'll bury it. Well, why do you hate that? Because last season when... I'm trying to remember which...
Justin Glad.
I don't think it was Justin Glad because... No, it was Justin Glad.
It was the playoff game.
Or was it Aaron? Yeah. It might have been Aaron Herrera, actually.
No, I think it was Justin Glad.
Okay.
Because a lot of people were asking the same kind of question. And so here's literally an example where if it works, everybody loves the quote. And if it doesn't work, then all of a sudden that quote is shit and so is Pablo. Sure.
But my thing with Ruiz, he's already missed one this year. Right? A lot of guys can be the most confident guy on the field to take it. A lot of guys don't have the skill set. Jefferson wanted that ball too. I'm sure Luna would have loved to have a hit at that.
Oh, that would have been great.
You can't let a guy that's like, he's already missed one. He's having a bad game. Don't let him take the PK. I was screaming in the press box, pulling my hair out as soon as he picked up that ball.
I tweeted before he even took the PK, I was like, he's gonna miss.
He was not making that. You could feel it.
Yeah.
Which is really unfortunate because, and I'm going to throw this right back at what Pablo says, every presser, he says goals change games.
Absolutely. Have we gotten that one?
Yeah.
And we're up 2-1?
Exactly. Going up 2-1 in the half, I think we would have pulled out the result. Yeah. Now you go into the break, 1-1. You come out, you try to find the result. You try to find the goal. And the space is just open up, and then Brenner's making these runs behind. Right off the bat, Cincinnati's had like 3 opportunities to score.
Oh, their high press was insane.
Yeah.
And then we hear the, you know, sometimes the ball just doesn't go your way, whatever, whatever. The night doesn't go your way. They had 2 penalties overturned.
Yeah.
I think the night was going your way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's just it's a tough one to navigate because where do you put the blame at? And
I personally blame the substitutions.
Yeah. So, you know, D all of the above is kind of making a little sense. But also, okay, let's say you get rid of Elliott Fall. Who's coming in to take his place?
Oh, if it was Garth Lagerwey.
In a perfect world, it would be Garth.
Yeah.
But we don't live in a perfect world.
We don't. It'll never happen.
And if you were Garth, would you really leave Seattle?
He's leaving Seattle.
Mm.
Yeah, the word is that he's not renewing.
Interesting.
He's out.
Interesting.
Right, so that's where people have hope.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, but you're right. Like, who says the next guy's going to do any better? Who knows? I do think the roster needs a much bigger refresh than I previously thought. I really do. And I think some coaching things need, maybe not fired, but addressed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So if we, let's not get into the depth of who would we essentially cut?
We can do a prelim. And then
who would we... You know, replace them with. I'm not really looking for a replacement, but we could do cut. Yeah, let's just say
I'm
cut.
I'm gonna pull up the roster. We'll say a name, and we'll all say keep or not.
Well, I thought we were saving this for the end of the year.
No, this is a prelim.
Let's just do this prelim.
This is just based on how we're feeling right now.
This is not the definitive.
No, this is
We're not telling anyone to pack up their locker or anything like that.
We've just dropped a lot of points, and the fan base is disgruntled, and they look at these players, and this is what I want
to
hear.
All right, so we'll do this. So you ask the player's name. We'll go to Alex, me, to Isaac, and then back to you.
All right, ready?
All right.
Let's do it.
Andrew Brody.
Keep. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Keep.
Yeah, that's a keep.
It's a no-brainer.
Johan Kapelhoff.
That one's a tough one. I like the vet.
Just keep or cut, bro. Cool. Cut. Cut for me.
Cut.
Borderline.
All right, wait, hang on. All right, tell us why.
Just the veteran presence.
He has potential.
Yeah, the veteran presence has potential. He could be a good mentor to, say, a Hazy or Roscoe. But we'll leave that for...
But I would rather Hazy or Roscoe be on the bench than him.
We'll leave that conversation for the end of the year.
Pablo Ruiz.
Sell.
Yeah, sell, I guess. But isn't that cut?
Loan to Pinsgo.
Same thing. Yeah.
Loan to what?
Pinsgo, where we loaned him the first time. Bobby Wood.
Sell. You got to cut him.
Yeah, cut him.
Bobby Wood's number one fan, keep.
All right.
Sell.
Why are you his number one fan?
I don't know. It's just a joke I have with a friend.
I'm a huge Bobby Wood guy, but I need a player that can play more than 14 games a season.
Dude, I was so high on Bobby Wood when he...
I think we all were.
He scored the goal winner against Germany in that friendly, right? Mm-hmm. Short after they won the World Cup. That was awesome.
Demir.
You have to keep Demir.
Keep. There's no question.
He's not coming back this season.
No.
Even if he was close to coming back,
there's no point.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no point.
You would just risk another injury.
Right. Justin Miram.
Keep.
Keep.
So.
Sub into the bench. You know?
Really?
So. Okay.
Let's get younger, boys.
Yeah, that's true.
Sergio Cordova.
No, don't renew his loan. If you can bring him back on loan, fine. But don't buy him out. Don't buy his loan.
I think he has potential. Keep.
Send him back.
I would say, yeah, I gotta go with send. He's yeah. That's the tough thing about this club, man. I don't feel like we've ever been a club where that expectation is come in and perform. And I like that we're heading towards that.
Right.
If this was Sergio Cordova 2015, that would be like a player that we're probably hot on,
mm-hmm.
and we'd want to keep because we see the potential. But I think we all need to graduate to come here and perform. You can't have success in this league by just giving people the time or the space to learn. Right. You know what I mean?
Well, and a 3-week stretch of success isn't going to cut it either.
One narrative I see online is play the young players.
Yeah, I agree. Like Diego Luna, right?
For example. Yeah, I mean, he is a young player. So that's a player that you're playing because he's up to that potential. Are we just going to play young kids because we want to play young kids and get them that experience if they're not up to that potential?
Sure. I think there needs to be a mixture.
Yeah.
Like, I think Haziel should have been the third center back all year.
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy that... who did he get turned by? That was early in the season. Was that at NYCFC?
Yeah, I think he was in that.
Then he just kind of disappeared. Like, he just kind of went off.
Well, the Monarchs ended up needing him, and they just, you know, he's young, let him play. But
that should have been somebody to keep on the roster,
right,
for sure.
He was performing. Yeah, he had some hiccups, but that's how you develop these guys.
Yeah. We were all old enough when Glad came in, kind of made the same mistakes too, but we saw the promise. Yeah. Anyway, all right.
Sava, that one's...
No-brainer.
Yeah.
Keep.
Scott Caldwell.
I'm going to go keep.
Really?
I'm gonna go keep.
I would sell.
He's not getting any money.
Yeah, I think cut.
I'd probably keep him too.
Okay. Just for roster. Just for roster purposes, like international spots, stuff like that. I would keep him.
He's keeping the bronze pack, like the bronze, the bronze card in his pack. There you go.
To fill out 27,
28. He's like, well, who the hell am I gonna?
All right, Nick Beasler.
Cut,
dude. Cut. I'm down.
Rubio Urbina.
Cut.
Sell.
I'd sell him back. Yeah, I love the guy, but
it's not working out.
Ever since the bicycle kick goal.
Ever since he got paid.
Yeah.
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 I'm not talking trit.
No, you can tell he's frustrated, but you know that's hard. But you know it's hard. But if we're trying, like I said, if we're trying to graduate to a different mindset, we can't hold on to the players just because we like them. All right.
Justin Glad.
Keep.
Sell to the Bundesliga.
If someone wanted to buy him, I'd sell him.
I'd sell him, man. I think
if there's a buyer.
He needs a challenge. Like, he needs to go somewhere where he isn't so comfortable.
Yeah, I think definitely if he has, like, international prospects, if he wants to play with the national team, I think he definitely has to leave. But, I mean, we talked about it in a couple podcasts.
Ship sailed, dude.
Yeah, I think we talked about it in a couple podcasts ago. Like, I think Justin Glad is going to be a guy who sticks around forever.
Yeah, he's going to be a Dax McCarty.
Yeah, which is fine.
It's fine, but when your spot is comfortable and you know you're starting every single game, well, then where's the push coming from?
Yeah.
And for me, and I think for him, it'd be a positive thing to go put him in a mixer where...
I'm not saying it wouldn't
be. Where there's some real competition.
It's got to be if anyone's interested, right?
Yeah.
Mikael Chang. Sell.
Sell, yeah.
Yeah, cut him.
Sell.
Yeah, man, I'm not seeing it. I'm just not seeing it,
dude. I didn't realize he's 32.
He started off, the season really, really well, but he's 31, 32 now,
which is insane. I thought he was so much younger.
That is so weird.
I think we all did.
Yeah, it's very young. Or
Zach
very sorry. He looks
McMath.
Is Zach McMath like a top 10 keeper in the league?
Yeah.
You think so? Where
no,
does
he
it,
is.
Where, between 10 to 5 or what?
I think he's like 5th or 6th in shutouts this year.
I think statistically, yeah, he's in like the top 10 for
it's statistically speaking.
No.
Statistically.
Yeah. You know what? He's done good. I feel like
yeah,
he's done
keep
good,
him around another
right?
year. Finding a goalkeeper is hard.
Yeah.
And you have two young goalkeepers coming up that are supposed to be better than Ochoa. So you keep Zach around another year, have these guys be on the bench maybe next year, start a couple games, start to develop and not do what we did to Ochoa. That's the direction we need.
How old is McMath?
31 or 32.
Yeah, okay. So he's on his way out.
Yeah.
But I don't know, dude. Keepers could also, I mean,
yeah, they can play forever, 37. But that's what I mean. If you have a guy that's currently performing.
And I can see it in his eyes, bro. I can see it in McMath's eyes.
I don't think I've ever seen him smile.
Whatever. I mean, I'm not whatevering you. I'm just like, I guess my point was, you could tell he's just a dude who'll stay in the league, like,
yeah,
until he's
pumped. Until no one will offer him anything.
Yeah.
All right. Bodie Hidalgo.
Who?
Bodie Davis.
Give him a Monarchs contract.
Yeah.
He doesn't, I don't.
No, yeah, no.
Give him a Monarchs contract.
Eric Holt.
Bye.
You think that's unanimous, yeah?
Cut.
See you, dude.
Tate Schmidt.
I would
give him a Monarchs contract.
Monarchs need to be developing players, though, buddy.
For a while, though.
For three games.
For a while, though, Tate Schmidt was getting some shots off.
Three games.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year. Three. He doesn't even make the bench now.
That's hard, man. That's rough. I'm going to use my wild card. I'm going to, like, use my lifeline. I say keep.
Sell.
Yeah, same. Aaron Herrera.
Sell.
Yeah.
Sell. Get some money out of him while you can, bro.
I think, again, it's another guy like Glad that needs a new challenge.
Yeah.
Right.
Not getting it here.
Jeff Doosnip.
Oh, you got to keep him. Yeah, you got to keep him.
Diego Luna.
Keep.
That's a kid that he's making what around what 150?
Probably, yeah. Should
around
be around
that range.
Yeah.
You think?
I think so.
Are you sure it's not lower than that, like 180?
It's more than it's at least 100. Has to be.
League minimums are what, 80?
I think he's a U22 initiative player, right?
No. I think they came out and clarified that, and they said that he was not.
Sure. Right. Should we just look it up real quick?
Because if he was a U22, he'd have to be making 600.
So I guess what ruined it for Diego Luna, and maybe we just haven't seen this yet either. My fear with Diego Luna is already had a really good reputation in USL coming up, and the first question when you look up a salary, it says, how rich is Diego Luna? That's funny. It just says net worth. It doesn't really get into the numbers here, at least from what I'm seeing. That's really weird. Okay, never mind. I feel like if he does get hot, you know, that's somebody who has a potential of, like, Rubio Rubining us.
Getting a new contract and
getting a new contract. And then, because we've seen it, dude. We've seen it so many times with players who come, score goals, get a pay bump.
But it's not even like score a lot of goals, which is irritating. No, it's like, you scored three?
Yeah. So, you know, I would love to see him just put his head down and work hard. And I think he's got that inside him.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think he'll be demanding a contract extension after a half a year type thing.
Yeah. We'll see though.
Yeah. Jasper Lofvelsund.
Keep.
Dude's a fighter.
He is. And I don't think he's necessarily going to be our long-term starter and, like, the fix there, but a guy you definitely want first off the bench.
Yes.
Anderson Julio.
Keep.
I'm going to say keep.
You want to see a little bit more out of him?
Yeah. I think give him it sucks because, yeah, it's same. I mean, the same could be said with, like, Rubio. Like, you're not seeing the same numbers.
I said sell Rubio.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, like, just the production. the production. We're not seeing the same numbers that he put up last year. I don't know if it's just... I don't know
what... Is it worth the international spot?
What changed? No. I would say give him probably another year.
Not worth the international spot. Outside of Real Salt Lake, who would care about Anderson Julio? He wasn't even playing for
Atletico San Luis.
Not even a team in the league. I mean, unless you're like bottom.
I think Portland was trying to snag him.
And one league MX
Chicago
team.
Or something.
Which, by the way, Portland, dude, they do it every year.
They do nothing and then they burst out of nowhere. Yeah.
Which I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
It's so stupid. Anyway.
Marcelo Silva.
How old is he?
33? 34?
Bye. I like you, dude. I really like the guy, but...
You're out?
Yeah.
I give him another year.
Sign him on a 1 year, super low.
Maybe sell for me.
I'll sell anyone. Because
he is
out
of contract.
Right.
He is out of contract this year.
Axel K.
Oh, my God.
Let's keep.
Yeah, you got to keep.
You got to play him, though. He's so young, though. I totally get why they haven't brought him up to get some minutes yet. You don't want to get in his head too quick.
That would be a fun experiment for the people who are, you know, every day play the young kids.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but dude's a big kid, but he would get bodied by like pros.
I want to wait till he's like 16.
He would get 16. Absolutely bodied. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah. Yeah, LeBron James was great in high school, but if you would have put him in the NBA like his junior year, he would have just been annihilated.
I think at age 16 or so, he can make that jump, right?
Yeah.
Let him get some more beatings in the MLS next and then bring him in. Zach Farnsworth.
Keep.
Yeah, I'm keeping too.
Keep.
I really want to see what he can do.
Definitely keep.
Yeah, you got to keep him. It's unfair to cut, sell before you've seen the product.
Julio Benitez, keep.
You know who Zach Farnsworth kind of reminds me a little bit of? Like
Justin Glad?
No, just like in talking with him and his mannerisms and his determination and his story. So he got injured, went through kind of like a tough mental lapse through that and kind of having to go through that because, his shot was there, gets injured, and then it's all a waiting game again. But you see the guy like at training just running and just back and forth while everyone else is getting like touches and playing on the ball. He's just running back and forth. He's got like Kyle Beckerman work ethic vibes.
Okay. All right.
Wow. And I like that. I like that about him a lot. So,
Julio Benitez.
Keep.
Keep.
Yeah, let's keep.
No reason to not.
Benitez.
Gavin Beavers should be this backup next year.
Definitely keep.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. Like, I've only heard about him, and I think I might be talking for a lot of RSL fans. You hear the hype, but I actually haven't seen him.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I've seen him a little bit at training, but nothing in terms of, like, maybe a scrimmage. Haven't seen it.
Yeah, I don't know too much about him either.
But I like what's good. Coming out of it.
He's good.
Yes.
Brian Oviedo.
Keep.
Go another year?
Yeah.
Definitely keep.
Keep. Yep.
Wait, see out his 18-month or however long contract and see how he does.
Jude Wellings.
Isn't he super good, right?
He's 15, yeah. Super young. Yeah, super.
Definitely
super
keep good. Him.
He needs a growth spurt.
Yeah, that was about keep. To say.
He's so small.
Yeah.
Talk about someone getting bodied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Danny Musovski.
It's the same thing. He needs his fair shake. He's getting subbed in late.
So
the game, at that time, like the team's already deflated, and it's almost like, "Hey, Musovski, it's on your shoulders to come in and change the game up."
He's out of contract. That's my issue.
I really think that he was just someone to fill in that roster.
Spot. Do you re-sign him?
I think, unfortunately, I think he'll be gone.
I think he'll be gone too. I'll be sick for him.
Yeah,
Thomas Gomez. I hope he plays on Thursday.
I think he will. I think he will. He started on Sunday.
I want to see one on the appearances next to his Wikipedia in like 20 years.
Yeah, and in reference to Thursday, so Atlas and Real Salt Lake are going to be playing at Rio Tinto. Yep.
America first.
Oh, boy.
The Riot.
That's so funny.
The Field and Sandy.
Keep forgetting.
Yeah, the Field and Sandy.
They'll be playing... It's absolutely going to be a rotation squad. If it was like a first team thing, I'd be super shocked. But there's no way that you could do that.
A lot of the first team guys aren't.
Yeah, they're to release the list.
So, yeah, that's going to be a fun experiment. Atlas, not too great of a team.
Even though they're reigning champs,
they've completely fallen flat this year. Yeah, they're like fighting for not to be last place right now in the Mexican.
Also, they're with Club America.
No, Club America's doing pretty good.
They're in like 15th, aren't they?
No, well, Club America's.
Who am I thinking of?
Club America's at the top, close to the top.
There's a
Chivas.
No, it's a big team, and they're like way low on the table.
Well, NYCFC got beat 2-0, Atlas. Atlas lost to NYCFC on September 14th to Zip. You guys are looking at their phones. What's going on?
We're looking at the Liga MX table.
Well, Josh was...
Maybe I was watching an old game.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You're just talking. I was watching one at the gym the other day, and last year, the standings. And
last year, America was pretty bad.
So it was probably an old game. Because, dude, they were, like, down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last year, they were.
Okay, so it was an old game.
I'd recommend going to Atlas versus Real Salt Lake if you kind of want to see that experimentation of rotational players. I think it's a good chance to...
I think Kane really might play.
You know, put some pieces together and see what happens. And then maybe if
someone that doesn't play in, they get a little spark, a little something.
Someone proves themselves. Exactly.
Ojeda.
Keep.
Yeah, keep.
Yeah, I buy him off that loan.
Keep. Yeah, to like, I'd buy him today.
Haziel Orozco.
Keep.
Start.
I think in a year or two, he will be a starting center back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's talented, man.
Chris Garcia.
Give him Monarch's contract.
Sell them. Telling you, I don't want guys just put on the Monarchs. I want academy guys to play.
He was super hyped, though, right?
Like he was.
He's really good.
But he's been super hyped for 3 years.
Right. Okay. It's been a while.
And didn't do much when he had his opportunities this year.
Right.
Agreed.
And the one I've been waiting for.
Brett Hasley.
Oh, no. That's not the one. Sell.
Yeah, I think we're selling him. I don't think he's getting any.
Jeez.
Now the one he's been waiting for.
There you go.
Menendez.
Oh, man.
Oh, what? I'm going to say something crazy.
Sell Cordova, bring Menendez back.
Bring him back. He's out on loan. He still has a couple years left on contract here.
But do we really need another winger?
Bring him back and let's see. Let's give him that chance that I feel like he didn't get when he was here.
Yeah, agreed.
I'll bring him back. I think he's great.
That was a weird, like, chess piece move. There's got to be something behind it, obviously.
We need an international spot.
Yeah. Oh, then okay. Maybe they will.
Yeah.
Okay, so
is that the whole roster?
That's the everyone. Roster.
Yeah, that is everybody.
Wow.
We sold not as many as I thought. But again, literally.
It's like half and half.
Yeah, I think if anybody comes in and offers you decent money for any of those guys, you absolutely sell them.
I'll take it, yeah.
What's one person that you would absolutely not sell?
Demir.
I think Demir and Sav are probably the only two that maybe. And maybe even then, if a good enough offer comes for Sav, you know.
If someone offered $20 million for Sava.
Yeah, take it, dude. Yeah, take it.
As long as that money was reinvested into the squad, of course.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that, I like that segment a lot.
That goes from talking about FC Cincinnati into that real awkwardly and fast, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just a disappointing result, man.
It's why we're
having the conversation
right
in the first place.
I was very ready to be home and very annoyed that I, like, wasted my time at the stadium. Not that it was a waste of time, but, like, I was like, man, this is one of those ones that I wish I was watching at home.
That was how I felt during Vancouver. I've never been so mad.
Right, like,
never been so.
It's like I'm so thankful I'm here. It's a beautiful night. I love being at the stadium, but I'm so annoyed at how, like, what I'm seeing on the field that I wish I could just be like on my couch,
right?
Being mad.
Well, now I'm going to twist it and throw out the optimism.
No,
I'm going to throw out the optimism. I saw a lot of people on Twitter after the game basically acting like we were done and out. It's not over. We got 2 games left. Difficult games. Hard games.
What you've seen since July, what makes you think we pull this out?
All I'm saying is if Galaxy...
Well, like, I'm just genuinely asking.
If Galaxy wins out on Saturday against San Jose, I don't think we'll make it.
I don't think we're going to make it anyway. We literally cannot score a goal.
I think San Jose...
If we would have actually purchased an actual striker instead of an injured winger that we didn't need, you know, an actual finisher. Think of the last three games, if we had a finisher, someone that was Mr. Automatic, right? I know no one's Mr. Automatic, but someone that was a consistent goal scorer, we've at least won two of these games. I think if you score early against Austin, we're winning. Obviously, if we score half a goal against DC, we're winning. And if we could have finished a freaking penalty kick against Cincinnati, odds are we win that game. We just don't have anyone finishing because we don't have a true striker. We have a bunch of wingers trying to do everything. Savarino absolutely needs to go back to the right. That needs to happen immediately. He's lost playing next to Cordova, and teams have figured it out. So he's just irritated, right? Like, playing with the three in the back just isn't working. Get Sava on the right. Get someone with Cordova. You can put Merrim up there with him. I don't care. Or, I don't know, just buy a striker. Weird. I'm irritated because the real need we needed, one of the big glaring needs we needed in the transfer window, we didn't fill. And we're absolutely paying the price for it right now.
Well, yeah, we got Musoski.
That's what I'm saying. We got a winger that was injured. It didn't answer the problem, right? If we could have spent some money, is what I'm saying. We could have bought a striker that would have potentially fixed all of these issues.
And to go off that, I mean, we got to be critical of what Elliot Fall's excuse was for that. They asked him time and time again, what was the lack of buying a striker? And he said, oh, we don't need one. We got Bobby and Demir.
Yeah, it's working out.
And I think that's where the front office failed.
Yeah,
100%. They completely planned the season around Demir being back for this moment, for now. And then Pablo Mastroianni comes out in the presser last game and says, oh, they're both out for probably the rest of the year.
Well, and let's not forget that Demir is not a striker. Let's just not forget that.
Would you be surprised that he would be the guy lining alongside Cordova?
That's absolutely ridiculous. I'm not surprised, but it's ridiculous.
But that's what would happen.
No, I know. Unfortunately. It's ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Just from hearing what Elliot said, it's 100% pointing that that was the plan. The plan was for Demir to get healthy, Demir to come back, play alongside Cordova up top, and then everything was going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's a failure. And that is why...
I'm doubling down on the FO.
100%. 100% it's a failure. We shouldn't even be having this conversation right now, to be honest with you.
We've been having the conversation of who's going to be our striker and score goals for 10 years.
But I mean, the conversation of like of this, like, we started the year off so well. The home playoff game should have been the objective. To me, not getting that home playoff game is a complete failure.
With how long we sat near the top of the table?
We were second place, not just in the West. We were second place in the entire league. And the fact that we're having this conversation because people were counting on Demir to be back at this time to save us, I think that's a complete failure of a season, even if we do make playoffs.
Well, but you also can't just rely on Demir to always be there to fix the problem. What if he has bad form? What if he's injured, right? Like, you have to have more than one option. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Bobby Wood, while he does provide goals here and there and provides a great effort, is also not an out-and-out goal scorer. You have to go find someone that's done it and done it again, right? We always get these guys that we're like, ooh, maybe this guy will do it, right? He was free, but we have to pay $1 million. Like, I'm excited. But they're never going to produce. You need to go spend the money on a guy that can produce, that's been producing, and been producing at a fairly high level. And we just aren't. Yeah. And we see all these other teams that are, and then people wonder why we're jealous of these signings, right? Like, imagine having a guy you could just be so pumped about, scoring goals all the time, making magic, just like when Javi was here.
Yep. Nope. Instead, we're going to be watching the table and just trying to see what results.
We don't deserve the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's no reason for us to go there.
I'm already kind of picking my my team to support in the playoffs if RSL doesn't make it.
Are you going east or west?
I would go west, and if the Galaxy somehow sneak in, I'd like to see Chicharito do a push. I like that team because they're the underdog LA team, and I get it. You guys have always said they're not an underdog.
No, but in LA they are.
Yeah, so that would just be a fun run.
My money's not on Philly.
Yeah, same.
Who do you think will win the Supporter Shield, LAFC or Union?
I think LAFC.
They're so hot.
I think LAFC will win it.
I don't.
They tied a 0-0 against Atlanta. LAFC took up that spot again. LAFC has a fairly easy schedule to finish the year. I think LAFC wins it, and then the curse of the Supporter Shield continues. LAFC won't make it to MLS Cup final. Philadelphia does. Philadelphia wins it all.
You think Philly's going to win?
I'm going to root for FC Cincinnati, though, because their jerseys are dope. I would actually, I really hope LAFC don't win it. Like, I don't want Gareth Bale coming in halfway through the year and, like, snagging a trophy. Like, that's just annoying.
Which, by the way, have you seen the criticism around him right now?
People are not loving
Gareth Bale. People are not happy with Gareth Bale.
And he's not producing, which just again goes to show anyone can fail in MLS, right?
Yeah.
But at least they tried.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, they're still doing that whole rotation of subbing him in late. And
no, he's been starting and Vela's been coming in.
I'm trying to remember the last match.
I think I don't know about the last match, but I know Shurundulu has taken games where he started at the 9, and fans apparently do not like him at the 9.
Yeah, that's a very vocal fan base, huh?
As they should be.
They'll let you know.
If you have a team spending more than anyone else, like you're going to be critical.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll be a lot of table watching. I don't think any of us are going to be paying attention to Atlas unless RSL wins, which I think they've got a pretty good shot.
Maybe we'll get another cat on the field.
Yeah, it'll matter at some point, right? Those matches, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. We're nearing the end as of right now with the form. What we're seeing, Pablo's comments, all of that. Let's go around the room. Does RSL make the playoffs, Isaac?
If we do, we crawl in. We don't. Like, it's going to be up to other teams to get us in.
It's an embarrassing playoff.
If we get in, it's embarrassing.
Like, we'll be like that wild card team.
Like we are every time.
Like a team who's supposed to win loses, and then boom, so all of a sudden we're... Yeah. Yeah, we're
like last year.
It's the story of RSL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex? Same. I guess the question is, if we make the playoffs, is it like a triumphant in or is it like a barely crawling?
It's going to be a barely crawling, and regardless if we do or don't make it, I'm going to be disappointed.
My problem is if we do somehow stumble in, the season by the owners will again be looked at as a success and nothing will change. We do not make the playoffs.
Gotcha.
Please, for the love of God, don't make the playoffs.
On that note, we'll end up and we'll wrap up the RSL show. Keep up with us on social media. We'll be covering the Atlas game pretty loosely. And then, of course, we're going to cover the next match against the Galaxy on October 1st. Galaxy will be facing San Jose this weekend. So I think that's really the kind of like the team to keep an eye on the West is... You know, are they producing results? Are they tying? Are they losing? Are they winning? Because that's going to be a big team that kind of impacts Real Salt Lake's stint into the playoffs. All right, guys, keep it here. RSL show at KSL Sports. Go to KSLSports.com and get all your RSL content.